Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A familiar story, isn't it? The miraculous catch of fish on the lake, early in Jesus' ministry. But you know, when we hear this story, we tend to hear it as a story about catching fish. And certainly the catch of fish was remarkable, even miraculous. But there are even greater miracles in this story than that. My fear is that because we are so focused on the fish, we miss the other miracles. And they are more important, I think, and more significant because they have the potential of touching us much more than catching lots of fish do. Let's face it, there aren't many of us in central Pennsylvania who make our living catching fish. So I want to spend a few minutes with you today looking at the four miracles in this parable, and perhaps there are more, but I can identify four of them very easily. First of all, Jesus told Peter to put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, those poor fishermen had been working all night. They were experienced and motivated fishermen. They had been at it for a long time. They earned their living that way and supported their families, so they knew what they were doing, and they were tired because they'd been, and they were discouraged because they hadn't caught anything that night. Then along comes Jesus. Now imagine how you would react to this. You're doing what you know how to do, and along comes not a fisherman, but a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter, for crying out loud. What did he know about fish and fishing? And he tells Peter to put your boat out and let down your nets. And Peter did it. That's the first miracle in the story. That Peter the fisherman, the expert, experienced, able fisherman, listened to what a carpenter told him to do. But the carpenter was Jesus. And he did it. Peter had every reason to disdain Jesus. He had every reason to throw up his hands and walk away from him. And no one would have blamed him for doing so. But Peter chose to trust Jesus. He was a man that Peter was just beginning to know. But something motivated Peter to trust Jesus and do as he said, even though it was against every one of Peter's instincts. That's the first miracle in the story, that Peter did what Jesus told him to do. You know, it would be easy for us to claim that Jesus knows little or nothing about our lives and the challenges we face. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. What does he know about cars and computers and peer pressure and modern times and economic meltdowns and bailouts and healthcare reform? What does he know about those sorts of things? When people decide to put their trust in Jesus, it truly is a miracle. It is a miracle. It was then, and it is now. A remarkable event. But it is only the first of many. Because the story goes on in Luke's gospel. Peter listened to Jesus, and he went out into the deep water, and he put his nets down for a catch. And it says, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And then you heard the rest of the story, how the fish filled the boat, and the boat began to sink, and they called over the second boat, and they put fish in that, and that boat began to sink too. And somehow they struggled and got them to shore. The catch of fish in itself was miraculous, more than these fellows had ever seen in their lives, more than they had ever dared to dream. But I fear that the miracle of the catching of the fish is danger for us. We tend to focus on that as the meaning of this story and its purpose. And then we find it very easy to translate that idea into, well, this is what God wants for us. God wants wealth and plenty of food. And God wants to take care of everything in our lives so that we are comfortable and we have all that we want. And that's not necessarily God's idea of what God wants to do for us. This miraculous catch of fish was a sign of who Jesus was, but not necessarily a miracle pointing us in the way of prosperity, to which some who read this passage want to point us. And then the most remarkable thing in the story, the thing that catches me off guard every time I read it, was Peter's response to Jesus. After they had gotten the fish up from the nets and into the boat, and they had struggled to get the boats to shore, instead of standing back and saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with all these fish? We're going to make more money than you've ever dreamed of. We've got to get them stored. We've got to get them cleaned. We've got to take care of this. The whole village will be feasting tonight. That's not what he said. Instead, Peter turned to Jesus and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Not the thing I would have expected. Here is the third miracle in the story. Peter was able to see beyond the fish to the presence of God in Jesus. This was a once-in-a-lifetime catch, the answer to their every need and their every hunger. But Peter was not blinded by self-interest. He still had the presence of mind to turn to Jesus and to trust Jesus. And it happened so quickly. It was indeed a miracle. Some of you may have seen the old movie, The Mark of Zorro. Have you ever seen any of those old Zorro movies? Well, The Mark of Zorro was made in 1940, which was before all of us were born. And in reviewing that movie, a man named Max Anders wrote about one scene in a book called God. And he describes the scene in The Mark of Zorro where Zorro, you know, with his sword at his side, Zorro is dressed all in black. Black shirt, black trousers, black cape. And he's riding on a jet black horse. And Zorro is racing through the woods on his horse. He's trying to escape a group of Spanish army officers who are determined to capture him. And he's racing through the woods, across streams, around bends, between the trees on his horse. Until finally, he finds himself on a bridge over a raging river, 20 feet in the air, dark as night. And, well, you can't see much of Zorro, just his eyes and the eyes of the horse. And Zorro is cornered on this bridge, and his enemy is coming at him from both sides. And then the most remarkable thing. Zorro, he turns his horse sideways on the bridge. So the horse is facing the railing, about a 4.5-foot rail on the edge of the bridge. And Zorro spurs the horse, and the horse leaps into nothing. It's dark, it's black. And the horse leaps over the rail, and they go down into the river. And of course, Zorro escapes his enemies and gets away despite the hail of bullets that are being fired at him. Well, Max Anders reflects on that scene, and he says, it is the most remarkable thing that this horse was willing to jump. Because in those days, you know, that was before we had the ability to make things appear on screen that didn't really happen. So this is a stunt or an event that they filmed and got it on film. How in the world did this rider get that horse to do something that was contrary to every instinct that a horse would have? A horse will never move in a direction, especially jump, where they can't see into the darkness. But this horse did that, and they got it on film, one of the most remarkable scenes ever filmed, according to Max Anders, who was writing about it. Well, he talked to some people who trained horses, and he found this out. He said the secret is this. The rider must never ask a horse to do anything that will hurt the horse. The rider first gets the horse to do little stunts, simple things that the horse may be hesitant about, but the horse doesn't get hurt in doing those small jumps and those small stunts. So the trainer graduates slowly and builds the challenges before the horse. So the horse is doing more and more challenging things, more and more difficult, more and more dangerous things. But the horse doesn't get hurt because the trainer knows what the horse can do and encourages the horse to learn. After years of training, the horse learns to trust the rider because even though the horse may be hesitant, it has never gotten hurt. The rider has never asked the horse to do anything that will cause it trauma. And as a result, that kind of well-trained horse will do almost anything the rider asks of him. Well, obviously, to get a horse to jump over the railing of a bridge into the darkness, down 20 feet into a river, took a lot of time working with that horse. And that horse had developed a tremendous trust, because in the film, the horse does not hesitate. When he has spurred, he immediately jumps, as the rider wants him to, over the rail and into the river. If you know anything about horses, it almost brings tears to your eyes, he says, to imagine the amount of work and the amount of trust that had gone into such a bold move as that. Indeed. But it helps me to understand even more the depth of the miracle that took place by the lake that day. Because Peter and Jesus had not had years of work together. They had not had the opportunity to train and talk and teach and learn together for a long period of time. Peter's trust in Jesus was almost immediate. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Peter recognized almost immediately who this Jesus was, and that Jesus would not do anything to cause him trauma and to hurt him. Peter moved to the place of deep trust and confidence in Jesus almost immediately. That makes this the third miracle in the story. And then, at the very end, Luke tells us, when they had got all the boats and the fish back to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Remember, it was as if these men had just hit the lottery. But they walked away from it, no longer motivated by greed or by self, but motivated by God's presence in Jesus, motivated by the prospect of living in community with Jesus and with each other. They left everything and followed him. A number of years ago, a man named John Hubbard was the president of the University of Southern California. And Dr. Hubbard was traveling in Texas at one time. And while he was there, he had the opportunity to meet Tom Landry, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. As he was preparing to leave, Coach Landry gave Dr. Hubbard a Dallas Cowboys t-shirt. But it wasn't just any Dallas Cowboys t-shirt. It was a coach's t-shirt. Rare as hen's teeth, you know. So Dr. Hubbard went home, and sometime later he was going out to play a round of golf. And so he took out this Dallas Cowboys coach's t-shirt and he put it on over his golf attire and he headed for the golf course. He was assigned that day a young man to be his caddy. And it didn't take this boy long to notice Dr. Hubbard's t-shirt. And he said to him, "Sir, are you the coach of the Dallas Cowboys?" And John Hubbard said, "No, son, I'm not the coach. I suppose you'd say I'm a scout." And, well, the caddy was deeply impressed that he was carrying clubs for one of the scouts for the Dallas Cowboys. And he said, "You know, I play football at the local junior college here. And I'm wondering if someday you think I might be able to play for the Cowboys." This kid thought he had it made. But Dr. Hubbard sized him up for a minute and he said, "Son, I don't know if you have the size to play professional football, but keep at it. You never know what might happen." Well, he continued playing his golf round, and as he did, John Hubbard felt more and more guilty about what he had just said to this boy. He had the chance to really encourage this kid, and he blew it. So after he sank his last putt and they were leaving the green together, he turned to the caddy and he said, "You know, I want you to have this t-shirt." And he took the t-shirt off. "I want you to have this t-shirt, but I'm afraid it's a little big for you." And the young man looked at him and smiled. He took the shirt and then he said something very wise. He said, "Don't worry, sir. I'll wear it till it fits. I'll wear it till it fits." And you know, I think that may be just what happened to Peter. There was something in him that realized he was in the presence of someone much bigger than he had anticipated. What was going on around him was far more than he could comprehend. But he knew he wanted to be a part of it. And so he just took the chance. "I'll wear it till it fits." The fishing story was just the beginning, because you and I know the rest of Peter's journey and how he did just that. Throughout the rest of his life, he continued to live into the hope and the dream and the values and the goals of God's kingdom as Jesus lived it among them. He kept on wearing it until it began to fit. And sisters and brothers, that may be just the place where you and I find ourselves too. As we come into the community of faith, we present ourselves to God in worship. We begin to comprehend the great dream that God has for us and for our world, the hope that God holds for us, the expectations of perfection that God has for His people. We realize it's much too big for us, and we need to live into it, to stay at it and do the hard work that it requires to live Christian life, to face the dangers and to make the sacrifices, to embrace the values and not to give up. Perhaps that's just the place where you and I are today, and we need to accept this call from God and take hold of what God gives us and calls us into and put it on and then wear it till it fits. Perhaps that's just where we are today, in the same place where Peter was by the lake long ago. Amen.